Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Blogcast. It's November 30, 2015, and this is episode 499. Yep, episode 499. We're gonna throw another bit of a party next week with a Google Plus Hangout on Air, which you're invited to. And I will give you details of that at the end of this podcast, so do listen to the end to find out what we're going to be up to. So I hope you love to print as much as I do, but when you print a lot, you pretty soon run into the problem of storing your prints safely and efficiently. I solved this in a number of ways, which I'll share with you today. I recently received a question about print storage from listener Mark Friedman from Hartsdale, New York, and I had not really covered this on the blog, so I figured now is as good a time as any to do this. Mark wrote, "Like you, I like to print, but there's only so much wall space in my home and that has long been filled. I currently store my prints, usually either 13 by 19 or 17 by 25 inch paper, in archival boxes, but I'm wondering if you have found a better solution. These boxes are expensive, heavy when filled, and the prints are not easily accessible. It's also a nuisance finding which prints are where. Any suggestions?" Well, my reply to Mark was initially just that in the main part, I don't have a much better strategy, except that I use polypropylene folders that I can flick through the images easily with, and we'll look at these shortly. I'm also going to explore a possible indexing system that I thought through a little to talk about today, although I don't have a need to implement such a system at this point in time. Many of my prints are just in archival boxes, like Mark, and yes, these might seem expensive for what they are, but they do hold a lot of prints, and the materials have to be acid-free to make them fully archival. So I think it's safe to assume that they're going to cost a bit. Personally, at $30 to $50 a pop for the larger boxes, I've never really felt them to be overly expensive. The weight issue is pretty much a moot point, because it's the prints themselves that weigh a lot, not the boxes. We're not going to overcome that until someone invents archival storage with its own anti-gravity field built in. I use a number of different boxes that I've bought over the years, but they are pretty much all imported from the US, so I'll include links from B&H so that you can jump straight to some of the products that I'll mention today. One of the easiest options that I use is the simple archival clamshell and museum box, most of which are from a company called Archival Methods. The main problem I find when looking for these boxes is getting a size that I like to print in, although digital printing sheet sizes are now available in one box style or another if you look around. Years ago, for example, it was really difficult to get something in a 13 by 19, but now that's a pretty common size. The smallest I ever print is 8.5 by 11 inch, then 13 by 19 inch, but more often I like to use 17 by 24 or 18 by 24 inch, and the largest standard sheet size that I can make on my printer is 24 by 36 inch. I actually don't make many 24 by 36 inch prints for myself, so I don't have a folder this large, but I do have boxes in 8.5 by 11 inch and 13 by 19 inch. I generally just drop prints into these boxes, but for a while I got into the habit of putting these prints into individual polypropylene clear sleeves, as you can see in this old photograph to illustrate this type of storage. I've never actually had problems with prints just put into this kind of storage loose, so I don't bother with the sleeves now, although these sleeves do add an extra level of protection, especially if you pass the prints around or flick through them often. On that point, another thing that I sometimes do is use cotton gloves when handling prints. Although I like clamshell boxes and the museum drop front boxes, you do have to lift each print up or take prints out altogether to view each print, which can take time when you're looking for a specific print, and this also causes you, of course, to handle them more. To help avoid touching the prints, the other storage that I use a lot is Itoya Art Profolios. I like these because you can flick through the pages of like a book, so this is what I recommended to Mark to help find prints easily. These are relatively inexpensive, but they're acid-free and archival-safe storage for prints, with polypropylene sleeves into which you drop your prints, and they have a black paper insert in each sleeve to sit between your prints as you load both sides. And there's 24 sleeves, so you can fit up to 48 prints in a single folder. To show you this type of folder, I shot this photo of me with an 18 by 24 inch Itoya Art Profolio folder open, showing two portraits from my recent Namibia tour. These Itoya folders come in lots of common sizes, but again, the ones I generally use are 8.5 by 11, 13 by 19, and 18 by 24 inch. These are also available in 19 by 13 inch for landscape oriented A3 plus prints. As you can see in the above photo, the last photo that we looked at, the polypropylene sleeves do reflect light a little. Although it looks worse in this photo because I'm holding up a large folder. When you lay them flat, you don't see this, and the smaller folders don't ripple like this either. As you can see in this photo, showing an 8.5 by 11 inch folder laid flat. So I'm sure that you can see that these are fine for casual presentation as well. One of the easiest and definitely cheapest storage options is so obvious that you'll probably already be doing this, and that is just using the box that your sheet media comes in. It doesn't look great presentation-wise, but if you print on sheet media that comes in boxes rather than on rolls, then this is a great way to store your prints, although you will ideally already have an empty box before you start putting printed photographs back into it. Of course, if you print on roll media, you won't have old boxes like this to store prints in, and this is why I started to explore the other methods. Whatever you use, it's important to let your prints fully dry or degas before putting them into your archival storage. I generally leave prints out overnight and put them into storage the following morning, after giving them one last look over under the morning sunlight pouring into my studio. Okay, so as I mentioned briefly earlier, let's talk a little about how one might devise a system to manage your prints in such a way that you could easily find a particular print, which is part of Mark's original question. Because I fulfill all of my print orders as they come in, I don't really need an indexing system, so this is total conjecture on my part. I'm just thinking about what I would do if I needed such a system. At the base of an index, I would use my image file names. I have the location or subject and the full date and the image file suffix in the file name. Even if I should end up with two images with the same suffix shot on the same day, Lightroom adds a number to ensure that each file name is unique, so I never have two images with the same file name. I actually use the file name as the SKU, the SKU, for each image in my online store, so when an order comes in, I just copy the file name, which is part of the order, to the clipboard and go to Lightroom and search for that with the text search, and up comes my image. Let's imagine then that I need this indexing system because I've become so well known that I'm selling so many prints each month that I can't keep up with orders by creating each print as the order comes in. I wish. I would probably invest in a series of cabinets with relatively shallow drawers into which I could drop prints either loosely or in archival boxes for extra protection, and I would number each of these shallow drawers. I don't want to move prints around once I've decided on which drawer they'll live in, as that would break my system as I added new prints. So I'm not going to organize the prints alphabetically or anything like that. Plus, there's no need to have my prints in alphabetical order to find them, because the system that I'm imagining here will take me straight to each drawer. I'd create a QR code for each image that I have up for sale on my website. There is plenty of software to do this, but if you want to give this a try yourself, go to a site like qr-code-generator.com and use their tool. They actually have a membership system that enables you to embed your logo into codes if you were really going to use this as a marketing tool, as well as for indexing images. I can imagine building a print catalog and embedding a QR code in the corner of each image, and this would take people directly to that print in our store. To demonstrate this, I've created a code to one of my prints from Iceland, Jewel on the Shore. There are many QR code readers available for the iPhone and Android phones, but I use an app called ScanBot, and this feature is built into the app. If you have a similar reader or download ScanBot, try scanning the code that you'll see in the blog post for this week's episode, which is at mbp.ac/499. And when you scan it, you'll see the information embedded in the code on your screen. And just so that you don't have to go through that if you don't want to, I've also embedded a screenshot of what I see when I scan this code with ScanBot. As you can see, the code includes the title of the print, the SKU or file name, the URL to the image in my store, and most importantly for this exercise, I included a draw number. This I just made up, but I called it draw 3.12, which I'm imagining would be draw number 12 in cabinet number 3. You know, I'm thinking like a big bank of cabinets to store all of the prints that I'm shipping out. That means that I could scan this code and get all of the information I need to find out exactly where the prints of this image are. I actually use another SKU for print sizes and finishes. For example, I might have received an order for a 13 by 19 inch matte print. I could get that granular if I literally needed to be able to simply hire someone to pick stock from these drawers to ship, but I think you get the picture with what I've explained so far. Of course, I need a mechanism to store these codes, which I haven't really looked into, but there are inventory management software products out there that include the production and management of barcodes and QR codes with stock, which I'm sure you could use. You could also build a simple Excel spreadsheet and include the information that I entered into the QR code and the QR code image itself. I actually named the QR code image files with the same file name as the image, with underbar or underscore QR underscore code appended to the end. So you could just drop these files in with your images and even import them into Lightroom so that you could easily see which images you have indexed. Believe it or not, there's even a Lightroom plugin to store QR codes with prints, and it adds custom fields for barcode numbers and comes with suggested methods to filter out your code images from your library view. Of course, we'd need to print and fix the QR code to each drawer of the cabinets, and I'm thinking Some simple Avery Square labels would do the job, or you could perhaps have little holders and drop printed cards in. I haven't spent a lot of time thinking this through, so I'm sure you could come up with something more sophisticated if you really wanted to put some kind of indexing in place. But I hope that this points you in the right direction if you do have a need for something like this. If you already have something like this in place, by all means, share your methods in the comments for this blog post. I actually think the idea of having these codes in a printed catalogue might have legs, so I'm not going to forget about this myself either. I can also imagine printing postcards of photos that I sell and giving them out at trade shows, etc. People could scan the code later and maybe pick up a copy of the print, although it would be better to encourage impulse buys to just have the prints there for them to buy and take home with them. I hope this has been useful, and thanks to Mark Friedman for the question that sparked this episode. If you have any questions yourself, you can now record them by clicking the sidebar on the website that says Record a Comment or Question, or visit our new voicemail page, and that's at mbp.ac/voicemail. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll include your recording in the audio. If you don't want me to use your recording, you can still use our contact form to drop me a line as usual, or, you know, record it, but just say in the recording, don't use this or something like that. So, like I said, we're coming up to our 500th episode. And as we did with the 400th episode, I'm thinking that it would be a lot of fun to do a Google Hangout and invite you along too. What I'd like to suggest is if you have a story about how this podcast has influenced you or your photography over the years, I'd love to hear that story during the Hangout. To help me gauge involvement, please leave a comment either below in this to the blog post at mbp.ac/499 or on the Hangout page, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. If you do intend to join us, just drop that comment in and just write a sentence or two to let me know how I've helped. Your story doesn't need to be a life changer, but I'd love to hear about any way that I've inspired or helped you or your photography. We'll start at 11 a.m. Japan time on December 5th, which is 6 p.m. PST on December 4th. If this is too late for you, sorry UK folks, I know it's like 2 a.m. or something stupid like that, but I would still love to hear from you. So if you can't make it, please leave your message via the voicemail system that I just mentioned at mbp.ac/voicemail, or click on that sidebar on the website and just record a comment. You can record up to 5 minutes, so there's no rush to, you know, you don't need to be all sort of worried about saying it as quickly as you possibly can. So if you are going to join us, ensure that you have earphones and a working mic beforehand. I hope to see you there. So thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends, and if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with that 500th episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.